Barnaby is the premier podcast spotlighting people of color. Every week, we talk news, what we've been playing, and tell you who's invited to the cookout. Our show is all about talking about gaming through a prism of blackness because we are the culture. Welcome to Bukkake, y'all.
Yo, what up, what up, what up, everybody? This is the Spawnomy Podcast with Khalif Adams. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a fantastic week. I hope you had a wonderful weekend and a holiday. Hope you had a wonderful holiday and hope that you had a fantastic day overall. Hope you got some rest. Hope you got a bunch of Starfield in because Starfield is the jam. Super hype about that. We got lots of conversations to talk about that. We got a lot of conversations to talk about all the wild stuff that's happening in terms of conversations around Starfield. So we have a lot of goodness to get into for this episode, episode 494 of the Spawn on Me podcast. Again, those folks who are watching us here on Twitch, twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe is a place to go when you want to watch us live, do our show. If you have not watched our show live, you should do it because I say things like blah, 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 when I mess up words. And it's always fun to be able to catch that on the fly and fix it, Jesus. Fix it, Lord. Help us all. And I have to say, if you have not watched all of our good stuff that's happening on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/SpawnOnMe, you need to be checking that out. We had one of the best reviews out on the planet around Starfield. I think a lot of folks have been in the spot, giving us love and making sure that we are in a good spot for episode 500, which is coming up really, really quickly. It got here way faster than I thought it was going to, but it is going to get here way faster than expected. So, yeah, we're going to do some good stuff there. I want to have a nice, like, recap show, or maybe we do something where we have, again, like, folks call in and share us their thoughts about, you know, the time that we've been here doing this work over the past 10 years. Massive love to our friends in Twitch chat giving us some bits and all that goodness there and supporting the show financially there. So, a lot of goodness to be talked about for this episode. I have had a pretty busy week. We're going to talk about PAX when I just came back from pretty much this weekend. It was a lot of fun. The best parts about that I'll get into. And the conversations of this week are going to be pretty heated because of the nonsense that we see from some of our favorite nonsensical people in the video game industry. And I think the best way to get into that is just directly going into the 411. First up on the show is a conversation about two of the biggest jerks on the planet right now when it comes to conversations around Starfield. One we know and one we don't. One, Dr. Disrespect, came through and was really upset at the fact that he did not, of all people, get a review code from our friends over at Bethesda. Ha ha, hee, we did, because we're good human beings and we do good work here and you don't. So that's the reason why you did it. That's kind of amazing. But it's also great to understand that all of these things have consequences. Things you say, things you do, you know, filming people in bathrooms, making fun of people with Asian accents, all the conversation that you've had over the past 10 plus years or however long you've been in the space, all of that stuff is coming home to roost. It's really interesting to see how all of that plays itself out when you do that work. I'm going to share a couple of quick clips. I think these will illustrate the nonsense that we're seeing right now from Dr. Disrespect and this other gentleman who I've now called the sentient lima bean. I want to show the first clip so you can hear it and get a little bit of a taste of the information that's kind of coming through from folks who are really just not understanding how the world works.
Him. Got it. Okay. Now everything's starting to make sense. Got it. All right. I got it. So, I gotta say this, Chance, for just real quick. I just gotta get it off my chest. Obviously, we've been hyping up Star Citizen for Starfield for a long time. we've been making it very vocal, right, Chance? We had our team reach out. Hey, can we work with you? Can we do something? Due to past controversies, there's no way we can work with Dr. Disrespect. How about just give me, like, let me play the game when some of the others are playing it. How about that? Yeah, that's still the case. Anyways, Chance, we just had to get that off our chest.
So you have Dr. Disrespect, who is one of the biggest streamers on the planet, one of the biggest content creators on the planet, now fussing and complaining that he has not gotten a code for a game when he has done numerous things throughout his time in the space. Things like film people in a bathroom at E3. Improprieties in his own family, in his own married relationship, making fun of people's accents, even though the person that he's related to and married to is also potentially of that background, while doing all the other things that go along with the persona of Dr. Disrespect over the years that he has grown and built this whole massive, movement towards and around, right? So we see this conversation happen, and he's mad. So he then goes and he checks to see Pete Hines, who is basically the head of publishing over at Bethesda, who is well-respected, well-known, a person who has been in this game for way longer than he has. And he goes and he says, oh, well, the reason he doesn't give me a code or they are not working with me because of my past controversies. Oh, let me look at his profile on Twitter just to see who he is. He sees that Pete has put he, him, and his pronouns in his bio. And the immediate response to that is, oh, well, I understand why now. Oh, I understand why they wouldn't give me a code, because Pete Hines has pronouns in his bio on Twitter. So you have, again, this wink and a nod to an audience that is one that is probably pretty young. It ranges the gamut of ages, ranges the gamuts of political stripes, ranges the age of a lot of different levels of influence and intelligence and all of those things. And what you come with is, oh, well, because you have pronouns in your name or in your bio, that must be the reason why you're not deciding to give me an early code. When you can buy a code and play it like everybody else, you are freaking rich. What are you talking about? You're mad because they don't want to work with you. Why would Bethesda want to work with you if this is the way that you act when you don't get something? And when you are now a bad brand risk because of the things that you have done in the past, it makes nothing but sense for Bethesda to not work with you, and for Bethesda to say, we don't want to do anything with you, and for Bethesda to say, we don't want to be tied or connected to your brand. It makes nothing but sense, especially if you are a person with any business acumen, to be able to understand why people work with some folks and why they don't work with other people. It's not that hard. It is very easy to understand that. So for him to be upset about this is the funniest shit on the planet. It is hilarious to see someone who is a grown-ass adult wear a wig and get complaining and complain about why a big company doesn't want to work with them when you are a brand risk for all the things that you've done. So that's the first reason that we're having this conversation tonight. The second reason is because of another gentleman who came up and said, oh wow, he put up a whole video about why in the beginning parts of the game you had to pick your pronouns in Starfield and how that was a huge problematic thing for him and why it is now a thing that makes him not want to play the game, but he's still playing the game. We're going to play a quick clip from that too.
Man has opinion about video game. Internet goes absolutely nuclear crazy about opinion on video game. Is this actually about opinion on video game? No, this has nothing to do with opinion on video game. This is everything to do with going after the far left sacred cow of gender ideology. I'm not going to treat you like you don't know what is actually going on. Towards the beginning of the game, the character creation, we were greeted with a pronoun option. So very current day of Bethesda, because it appears at some point during the last couple of years, Pete Hines seems to have forgotten what gender he is. Never mind. So I went on a little bit of a rant to my streaming audience because I was unhappy with the fact that in every aspect of our entertainment today, we seem to be pulled out because the people creating it are more concerned with inserting current day into absolutely everything. I love nothing more than, with all of that laid out in front of me, I love nothing more than to be dragged out at every fucking conceivable opportunity so you can fucking current day us. Sorry, did you want to get immersed in our world? Yeah, well, guess what? Fucking pronouns! Fucking gender ambiguity! Fucking current day Californian shit! Because that's all we fucking know! Because we're boring! We're so fucking boring! We can't see past our own fucking reflection! That's the level of our narcissism here!
Because we're boring! Because of the current day politics that's here, we can't look at our game and say, oh my god, I can't see someone who looks just like me for the past 20 fucking years, and then I gotta do this to have a fucking argument on the goddamn internet because I'm a goddamn idiot. Stop putting your fucking... Don't put your current day politics in my game because I don't know how to deal with the real fucking world. I don't get it. I don't understand what's happening to me. I'm a sentient lima bean. I don't get it. Governor.
This is some of the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. Because I want to break this down for a second, because what makes me so annoyed at the stupidity here is if you dig a little bit behind the words, you will understand exactly why this makes no sense. First of all, to say that there is a pulling you out of the experience and you want to be immersed in this video game that puts you in space and has you role play and has you do all of these things that this game is for, which is to let you be exactly who you want to be, is be anything you want to be. You want to be a space pirate, you can be a space pirate. You want to be a space cowboy, you can be a space cowboy. But for you to see an option for you to pull in your own pronouns that may not be he, him, or she, her, the ones that have been default forever, and now you get another option that is maybe they, them, that for you to have this kind of mental breakdown tells me a lot about the therapy that you need. It is not easy to understand how simple this is. It is not hard to understand that when you say something like, don't put current day into my game, that means that you are not even in the same multiverse that we are in. Bethesda putting in pronouns to let people see themselves in a game and identify in the way that they have wanted to identify for a long time, in a way that most societies have then not given them the ability to do that thing loudly and proudly. And for you to think that that is a testament to current day politics, you're fucking right it's about current day politics, because we live in the current day and people are now being able to do things that they weren't able to do before. They had to hide and they had to not understand and they had to be in a space where they couldn't fully grok the ability to kind of do the work and live the lives they want to live forever. Even though the idea of multiple ways of being has always been here. This goes the idea of that, of two personhood, or I forget the exact phrasing of it. I should have gotten that before I started the conversation, but I remember hearing about those conversations for indigenous folks here who are here on the continent here. The future that you're talking about doesn't exist anymore. The ability to not understand that not everything is for you doesn't exist anymore. The ability to not be able to sit with and be around and understand that other people have different lifestyles differently than you and different personalities and different ways of being other than you is not a thing anymore. So this idea that if Bethesda or whatever other game, and there have been many that have put in pronouns of late, which is great, are now offending you, or that you're offended, or that you are now taken out of your experience, means that you're just an asshole. It doesn't go deeper than that. It doesn't need to be deeper than that. It's super simple. You're just a fucking jerk who doesn't understand how the actual world works anymore. And if you are no longer have the ability to understand where you are across the world, because there are people who identify with multiple pronouns that are not just he, him, and she, her across the planet, then maybe you need to find a new planet to go to. This is the perfect game for you. Take your ship, go to a new planet, and don't worry about the rest of us who are actually making progress on this one. Because the problem is, when you get to those other planets, you have a whole other pronouns you have to deal with, because most of those folks are aliens. So these folks are stupid. This is amazingly dumb. This is so stupid that we have had two people soak up this amount of energy into the space, and I'm doing it again because I'm sharing it. But it is amazingly silly to see how adults cannot actually understand how any of this works anymore. And I don't understand how they have not gotten that ready. For their minds, for their bodies, for their souls. It makes no sense that y'all haven't figured that out yet. And for Dr. Disrespect to complain about not getting access for a thing, this person complaining about the fussiness of learning or understanding that other human beings are here, we have to stop letting these folks play things. I don't even know what the real answer is, because all of it is dumb. Like, it's so stupid to see people who are and should have reasonable understandings of the world and have some audiences too, which is the weird thing. Like, there were so many folks who jumped into my mentions after sharing this out. And one of the things I said was, this is a nice change of pace to see someone like Dr. Disrespect not get a code after understanding all the things that he has done over his career. And that was a really nice pivot to see a really smart marketing team say, look, we don't want you attached to our game because you don't bring value here. The things you've just said, definitely not going to get a code now. Probably should get blacklisted from Bethesda for all the stuff you said towards Pete and towards the conversation. That would make nothing but sense for you to get boycotted right now. And this other cat, he'll disappear. He'll now grow a little bit more of an audience due to the conversation. But it is a telling thing that people don't understand, that the current day politics is not something to run away from. And it's not a thing that you can get away from, because this is what the lived experiences are for a bunch of human beings on the planet. And if you don't understand that, then you are messing that up. That is a thing that you need to go figure out, and the thing that you need to go do the work internally and figure that out for who you are as a human being. Because if that tilts you off, then damn, you got a whole bunch of other stuff to have to deal with, because you got a lot of coping to figure out in this life. So that's enough for the Dr. Disrespect and the Lima Bean conversation. That then brings us to the conversation around what is now actually happening, which is Starfield is selling really, really well. Starfield is now doing extremely well. This is a stat from Steam over the past couple of days, from pre-launch to now. And we're now seeing that some of the review scores have come out, and they've varied up and down the scale. You know, there have been some controversies about what is a a good number now for a score, which is also really silly. But the growing number of people playing Starfield and enjoying Starfield is constantly growing. I think Starfield has continued to be a game that Bethesda should be extremely proud of. They should really understand how many people are enjoying this in a way that does lean into the promise that they had shared earlier from their press releases and from their marketing campaigns of what they wanted to do. You know, the experiences they wanted to give players. I think Todd Howard and the rest of the folks who had talked about it from the studio, you know, if I'm thinking about my playthrough right now, they are absolutely nailing exactly what I had expected for them to do. When we gave them a 4 out of 5 on our score tally for our review, it still feels extremely on point. That number doesn't feel weird, or that number doesn't feel off at all. That number feels pretty on point in terms of where we are for where this game has landed. I am having a blast with it. I've still not finished the main campaign because I'm slow playing it after doing the review. But every time I turn around a corner, I'm finding something new. I'm finding a new system that I'm learning more about, or I'm getting into trouble doing some things. Right now, I'm trying to duck a $40,000 bounty from the UC colony because I did some things I ain't supposed to be doing out there in the streets. And I meant to do it, and I don't take it back. Ha ha. But it is one of those conversations where, if we think about the energy that was in the room prior to Starfield going up, of is this game going to be bad? Is this game not going to live up to expectations? Does this game put Xbox in a really weird predicament if it doesn't nail it? You know, all of the haters were haters, and all the folks who were the biggest stands, it winds up kind of leaning into and falling in the middle where the game has reviewed well and a lot of people are digging it. A lot of folks are sharing their stories, and all the things that we thought would happen are kind of happening. They're like, oh my God, I got a chance to do this, and this is what happened in my playthrough. Oh wow, did you see that thing? Oh crap, I didn't even see that thing. I didn't even go in that planet. How the heck did that happen? Oh, that's wild. All of those things, all of the water cooler moments that people had talked about are actually happening right now. They're happening right now in real time. There's still, you know, folks who are downloading it now and getting a chance to play it for the first time. But for the most part, this game is absolutely nailing exactly what we thought it would and feels amazingly cool to be able to have as a much bigger world that we'll be able to play in for a fairly long time. You know, the PC crew is already putting in a ton of work on the modding scene. They're already, you know, making things really, really awesome on the PC platform. You know, I've been playing on both PC and Xbox Series X, and it's been a fantastic experience there. You know, the Xbox Series S is also playing the game really well. I feel like this is a moment where Xbox gets to toot their horn and be like, we made a big bet, and that bet is paying off. We're doing a lot of the work that we thought we would be able to do when we got this acquisition, and that acquisition is paying off in a much bigger and doper way than we, you know, had an expectation for, because I think now we're starting to see people really come to the forefront and say, I am enjoying this. I'm having a blast with this. This game is awesome. And I'm just hoping that more folks are going to be able to do that. I think this is going to be one of those games that will have a long tail, like most Bethesda games. Once they start putting out expansions, and what can they do with those expansions, and what are they going to do with some quality of life stuff, what are they going to be able to do with, you know, all of the pieces that go along with making a game this big even better and refining it and improving on some of the systems that we have had some problems with. This game is just going to be freaking amazing. It's going to be really, really good to be able to see where it lands in the grand scheme of Bethesda games, Bethesda titles, and what does this mean for the future. I think that the biggest boon to this game has been so many folks sharing their experiences and stories. I think one of the things that I was hoping for was to see varied conversations around certain ways that people would do stuff. You know, were you playing like a space cowboy? Were you trying to play it by the rules? Were you trying to go rogue and do some of that work in that way? Those things feel good in all of those kind of, you know, interlocking systems working together. And it does make me think of, you know, what were their projections in terms of sales and all those. Either way, it feels like even if you just went through and looked at the stuff that happened before Game Pass came online, those numbers are nuts for this game. And it just tells me, thinking about the previous conversation, that there are going to be so many people who see themselves in this game. There's going to be so many people who are going to be able to kind of live out their space fantasies in this way and really go deep into the conversations and romance the people they want to romance and, you know, play a game and have those conversations about what does that mean for them. It is extremely cool to see games like this come out and to see people really enjoy their time with it in a game, in a year where games have just been off the wall, just massive. Like, we've had so many games. We have so many. We're in September now. We have more games coming. Mortal Kombat 1 is going to drop. Tekken is going to drop. You know, Cyberpunk 2077 is going to drop with more DLC. Like, Lords of the Fallen is going to drop. There's so many things that are going to be coming out in the not too distant future. We are eating really well this year. We are knocking it out of the park this year in terms of what's happening now and what's going down. Like, I haven't even started really to dig into Armored Core. That's a whole game that had ridiculous reviews too. I'm still like on the first boss because I'm running between Starfield and Madden and Predecessor and, you know, all of these wonderful games that we have in the mix. And it's just like the best year ever for games. It is a really fantastic time for games, and I don't think people really understand how good they have it. So, I mean, look, it is one of those things where if you're not paying attention, if you're one of those folks who is, you know, a part of the zeitgeist that is continuing to jump into my mentions about how Starfield is a reflection of the ways that games have gotten worse over the years and how games have gotten bad and how there's nothing to play and overall, like, there were a lot of folks in my mentions this week that brought up a conversation about why they feel like gaming is on a downward slope. And I don't understand that. I really don't. Like, even if I'm a really weird edge case. I'm in the kind of media / influencer space. The work that I get a chance to do, I often get codes for games. I'm not paying for games all the time. I'm still buying some stuff. Because there are some times we don't get codes for those things and all those conversations. But in the grand scheme, I'm constantly in a space where I am playing something or finding something new or being recommended something that's awesome or hearing about a new game that's in that space. Oh, it was a conversation from the folks from RDC World. There was an old video that popped up that basically was like, games aren't as good as they used to because of all the things that are happening. And then people made this whole big rant about everything comes with DLC and everything has a battle pass and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, look, I understand that you all have these feelings about what that means for you as a person and as a consumer. If you don't play a bunch of games during the year and you can't afford to, that's totally reasonable. But also, a lot of the stuff that y'all are complaining about is optional. It is not gatekeeping you from having fun. A lot of the stuff that people are complaining about has nothing to do with the core gameplay loop that you wind up going through. There's very few games that actually hold content from you and say you got to pay for it to get it. It's very few games that do that. So this overarching idea that gaming is, you know, somehow a ton worse now because of, you know, all of the things that gaming is doing, just doesn't really roll. It doesn't really like reign true to me. It doesn't really kind of like make sense to me in the same ways that I'm hearing all these things bubble up, because I don't see that. I'm like, oh, this battle pass is here. I'm like, you don't have to buy it. You can still play the game. Oh, 2K is, you got to spend this kind of money to play 2K. No, you don't. You literally don't. If you want to play a certain mode to be competitive, sure, you might want to spend money to do that. Is that fair? No, I think that's predatory. But do you have to do it? No, you totally don't have to do it. It is not a necessary thing to do. You absolutely don't need to do it. You can absolutely say, no, I'm not spending that money. because I feel like it's shitty, and I feel like it is digging into my pocket in a way that I don't want. So again, like, I think there's lots of perspectives here. I think the conversation about what are you getting versus what you're not getting is very different these days. And I think a lot of people are blowing this out of proportion in a way that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, where the feeling of losing is very different than are you actually losing? And I think that's not true for a lot of people, for a lot of games. And also, there's another conversation that goes alongside that, that digs into the current way that games are made. Building a team with really competent developers is not cheap, and it shouldn't be. It should be a thing where people are paid well and they have a space to make the things they want to make alongside a decent and interesting and smart marketing plan in a way that publishers are not rushing games out of the door. The funny thing is, when people talk about games are rushed these days, games are already on a 4 to 5 year cycle, unless you're a really small team. Even if you're a small team, those cycles can be really long. So if you're already saying that you're getting bad games on a rushed cycle, then what does that mean? Do you push games out to even longer development times? No, because then you'll be mad that there are no games coming out. Do you make people make games for much longer? No, because you get burnt out and you get tired of making the same game for a long period of time. I think we're in a really balanced space right now. But I do think that for the most part, the conversations and the complaints that a lot of players have kind of come from somewhere that doesn't really make a lot of sense. It just doesn't. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I think somebody in chat, Mindslurper, says some of the monetization apparently preys on neurodivergent people. Gacha games and things with loot boxes can be predatory to folks who are neurodivergent. Yes, absolutely. But also, I think there's a space there that if you are neurodivergent and you've taken the time to analyze that and do that work and figure out and have those conversations for sure within yourself, you also have to avoid those games. Like, a lot of the conversations there that happen, that information comes out in a review, in a preview. There are spaces for folks who are worried about being preyed upon to go and see and do a little research to say, is this game for me? And if you are a person who's like, that will trigger me, or that will cause me to do a thing that is detrimental to who I am as a human being, don't play that stuff. I think there's a balance there to be able to say, companies don't put that stuff in the game if we know it's bad. Players don't play that stuff if you know it's bad. I think there are decisions to be made on both sides of that equation. And I think if people really took the time to do that work, we'd be in a much better position. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. I'm going to talk a little bit about my PAX, my time at PAX this year. It was a lot of fun. And then we'll end out on this episode of 494 of the Spawn on Me podcast. We'll be right back after this. We'll play a 3-minute ad and we'll be right back.
People, the time has come.
Chat, tell me if the stream was stuttery for most of that. It looked like it was pretty okay. It looks like it was choppy a little bit, but not too much. If so, I know what I need to fix next. But let me know what you think. Was it too choppy? You look good? Okay. Yeah, if you don't really notice it, then that's good. I might start streaming the show in 720p too, just to see, but I don't know yet. We'll see. There's a couple things I gotta fix on the back end in terms of the assets we're using. Anyway, so thank you all for hanging. The show is gonna be short, which isn't bad because it's been on for about almost 40 minutes, which isn't too bad. All right, 10 seconds before we roll back in. Okay, thank you, Mindslap. Appreciate you. All right, let's come back in. Welcome back to the Spawn on Me podcast with Khalif Adams. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a wonderful rest of your week. If you missed the first part of the show, then you missed some goodness about me talking about Dr. Disrespect and lima beans and pronouns and a whole bunch of other conversations here on the Spawn on Me podcast. We had a blast digging into that. I had a blast at PAX West this weekend. It was amazingly dope. I got to see so many fun and interesting people, made some new friends, got a chance to finally meet the fam from the Iron Lords podcast, which was super dope and was really cool. Got the chance to finally meet a bunch of other folks who were in the space. We had a really dope time with the folks over at Atari, who are bringing back out one of my favorite Atari systems of all time. They've redone, I think that's the 2600 right there. They are redoing this entire system and bringing the whole thing back with all the new connections that you can have. They even have the old controllers, the old paddles, the old switches on the Atari feel really good. They even brought out new versions of the old carts that are there too. Like, it's going to be so cool when this thing drops. We're going to talk to them and have somebody from the team come on the show to talk about the new Atari stuff. And I got a chance to check out some games too. I think, you know, I was walking around on the floor, hanging out with a bunch of folks. You know, the floor was rocking. You know, it was really busy, lots of people there hanging out. The Baldur's Gate 3 booth was live. It was big and full effect. I got a chance to play this, or at least check out this game called Thermitage, which is a little bit like Darkest Dungeon, but from this really interesting angle and perspective, which I thought was really cool and interesting. It was just a really fun time this year to be able to go back to PAX and to have, you know, just a really awesome and fun time there where, you know, you're just giving love to so many different people who are in the space and just hanging out with them. And when you get a chance to do that, that's always great. Like, it always feels so fun to be able to really go and be a part of a bigger conversation and be in a room with a lot of different folks. PAX continues to be one of my favorite conferences to go to because PAX is just full of so many good people and full of so many wonderful conversations, and getting a chance to host a panel for our folks over at Square Enix. I got a chance to host a panel around Power Wash Simulator, which was cool. It was, you know, folks from Square Enix, folks from Future Lab, which was really rad, and got a chance to do that, which was so much fun. I think, again, like, shows like this just always bring so many young people to the stage. It brings so many good-hearted folks to the conversation. It brings so much good energy to the space that it really does become a thing that you miss if you haven't been there for a while. Like, I'd missed the previous PAX and hadn't had a chance to go. I'd really not had a chance to go to a lot of conferences this year because of, again, COVID and me losing my job. So it was nice to go back and just be back in the mix and to see so many people you love and respect and appreciate. It was a really amazing time this weekend. We're going to do some fun stuff within that mix too. I'll share some other stuff on our social platforms. Like, we'll put some stuff up on our TikTok and other things there, because I got a chance to play. And is it here? I think it might be here. Let me see if I can find it. I got a chance to check out the new Mario game, Super Mario Wonder, which was dope. Super Mario Wonder is great. It was me and a couple other friends. We had gone through and went through Nintendo Live, which was this whole section of packs that was, you know, cordoned off, that was all Nintendo stuff. So you'd go through and you would go to the stage where they had Pikmin, or you'd go to this thing where they were playing like entire, they had like a whole orchestra playing Nintendo music, or, and they had Mario Kart competitions, and you could build a Lego set. There was a big Lego Bowser that would turn, and the eyes would move and the eyebrows would move. It was really, really cool to be able to go and do that and have fun and be back in the mix again, which is always amazingly cool. So, yeah, that was it for this episode. It was a blast. It was a lot of fun. There's going to be more stuff that I'm going to be pushing out on socials of late. I got my Constellation edition for Starfield in the mail. I got this really dope Armored Core controller. We got some new gear in from Logitech that I'll probably just do another video, or I'll showcase it on the next stream. But they put this really new, amazing line of stuff. I'll take some pictures and show it, because we now are, I think, past the embargo to do that. I also had a chance to play the new Prince of Persia game as well, so I'll be sharing some impressions about that very, very soon. Also got a chance to check out Forza, the new Forza. So we'll be talking about that when the embargo lifts on that as well. So lots of games. I'm very, very busy in terms of playing stuff, checking out stuff, and all of those things. And we'll talk more about those in a future show. So, and we have another little announcement that I'm trying to get done before the end of the month. So, new content? Eyebrows? Question mark? All that good stuff? So, more stuff coming very, very soon. So until then, we're going to get out of here for this episode 494 of the Spawn of Me podcast. Again, thank you for checking out the show. If you're here live rocking with us here at Twitch, twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe. Thank you so much for coming here and hanging with us. Go check out the work on youtube.com/SpawnOnMe to go check out all of our VODs, check out past episodes, check out features, reviews, all of that goodness here. And for all the wonderful folks who are here hanging with us, we love you. Bricago is 10 years strong. We're kicking ass and making it happen. So until then, until next week, much love. See you soon. We have this episode out a little bit later tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow morning, this episode will be up. So check for that around noon in the afternoon. That's not the morning. You know what I mean. All right, then. Much love to everybody here. Much love and peace.